Psalm 1:2:1.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Over the summer, we're doing a short series in the Psalms called Travelling Home. And it's all based around the idea that every year Jewish people would travel to Jerusalem for various different festivals. And so wherever they lived in the country, they would congregate in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's on a mountain. So it was always, you go up to Jerusalem. You understand? You go up to Jerusalem. So it was always a journey. You know, it's always uphill. It's always a challenge. And as they would travel along, they would sing. And the songs they would sing are here for us in our Bible. Psalm 121 through to Psalm 134. They're called the Song of Ascents. The songs that you sing when you're ascending, when you're going up, you see. Okay. So we're going to be going through these Psalms, or some of them at least, over the next few weeks. And they're helpful for us because life is a journey, isn't it? For all of us, life is a journey. And I know that today some of you are a long, long way from home. You know, home might be Shelton, but actually, really, home is a long way from here. But in a sense, for all Christian people, this nowhere here on earth is really home, is it? We're all on a greater journey to our eternal home. So what do these songs teach us? Well, they're things that we need to hear on the journey, things that will encourage us on the journey as we head home, as we travel toward home. And today, Psalm 121, I've titled it, "The Lord Watches Over You." Let's have a quick look at the first bit. If you've got a Bible with you, you'll find it very helpful to have it open in front of you at Psalm 121. It says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? You can perhaps just imagine the traveller. You know what it's like when you go for a walk. You know, very often you're looking down at your feet, aren't you? Because, you know, especially if it's a difficult path, you know, you want to, you know, put your feet in the right place, not fall over something, not fall in a big hole. But you can just imagine the traveller looking up from the floor for a moment and seeing the mountains and the scale of the challenge that he's got to do. It's a long way to Jerusalem for some. And the mountains, of course, also come with danger, don't they? You know, it's hard work. It's a challenge. There are bad people in the mountains, that kind of thing. But of course, it's a metaphor we're all very familiar with as well, isn't it? You know, I've got a mountain of work to do. You know, I've got a mountain of paperwork. Maybe today you're a carer and you've got a list of house calls that you need to do every day and it's a huge mountain to you. Or there is maybe literally a mountain of clothes you need to wash and do the laundry, or medical appointments that you have to go to. Maybe you're a parent at the moment and just thinking like, I've just got to get through this next few weeks. Just got to survive. And the mountain feels big and it feels scary. Maybe it even feels impossible. And the traveler says, where does my help come from? I think the answer to that question starts right there. Because his conclusion straight away, the first thing he says, this traveler, is, where does my help come from? In other words, I need help. I need help on this journey. I can't do this on my own. I'm going to need help from somewhere. It takes some humility, doesn't it, to admit that you need help, that you're not enough, you can't do it on your own. Western culture is so self-reliant, very, very self-reliant. I think that certainly my generation is summed up very nicely by the Nike brand, you know, the sportswear brand, Just Do It. I think that sums up my generation, and maybe one's a little bit younger than me, ever so well. You can do it. You are strong. Just put the effort in. Try harder. You'll get there. You can achieve all your dreams. Just do it. And if you're not doing it, it's because you're not doing hard, if you're not trying hard enough. But you see, this is the problem. Very often we can't do it. Actually, it's too hard. And that's where our individualist Western culture just collapses in on itself, because it doesn't have anything to say to that. And I think that's why so many of our young people especially, but not just young people, are in the midst of a mental health meltdown in our generation. Because they lift their eyes up to the mountains and say, there's no one to help me. I've been told I've got to do it myself. I've been told I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, I can achieve anything. But actually, I can't. And there's no one to help. And so they're depressed and demotivated and anxious and hopeless. There's ancient wisdom in here. You know, 3,000-year-old wisdom for people like us in our generation. Let's look at the answers that those ancient travelers came up with. First one is this: the Lord is your helper. This traveler says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You probably don't realize just yet how liberating that statement is. My help comes from the Lord. Why do I say that's liberating? Because you know what? If my main help comes from my money, if I'm relying on money to be my big help in life, and I'm poor, then I'm really in big trouble, aren't I? Or if my main help comes from my spouse, but I'm single, or if she's annoyed with me, then I haven't got any answers. Or if my main help comes from my family and my friends, my social connections, if that's my main help in life, and then I find myself alone, I've got no hope at all. Or if my main help comes from my ingenuity, my brains, my wits, and actually I'm not that clever, then I'm stuffed. But for a Christian, you see, for a believer, you can say, my help comes from the Lord. That's where my help comes from. And it's liberating, because it doesn't rely on your circumstances or your economic privilege or your social status or your intellect or your connections. None of that matters. He's a helper available to all of us. And whether you have his help or not doesn't matter about any of those things. Whether you have his help or not depends on Jesus. You know, we all start off as God's enemies. Do you know that? It's what Romans 5 says. We were God's enemies, rebels against his will. In fact, that's what the whole Old Testament is, really. It's just pointing out how we are rebellious, or specifically Israel, but it applies to all of us, are rebellious people who deserve God's judgment and his condemnation. But when you come to Jesus and allow him to deal with your sin and your shame at the cross, then your relationship with God is restored. And now he's not your enemy anymore. He's your helper. He's your friend. And that is available to everyone, no matter about your social status or how much money you've got, or whether you left education with a PhD or with a swimming certificate. And you know, he's the very best helper there is. Why do I say that? Because he's the maker of heaven and earth. You see that? What better helper could you ever have to help you through life than the most ultimately powerful being in the universe who made all things, including the mountains that you're struggling with? He's the maker of heaven and earth. So he can help you with the mountains because he made the mountains. Just think with me for a moment about the kindness and humility of our God. The maker of all things becomes the helper. That's amazing, I think. And he becomes our helper, not just by sprinkling a few good things on us, like someone putting a few coins in a charity collection bucket. Okay, that's not how he helps us. He helps us by Jesus coming to us and walking with us. By Jesus, the maker of all things, comes and walks this earth and faces the very same mountains that we face. And he has become my ultimate help, my sin bearer, my redeemer, by going to the cross with all my sin and my shame on his back. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth, is my helper, my sin bearer. That is amazing. That is amazing that God should do that. Just take a moment, shall we, just to think on that idea. The maker of all things should come and walk with us. And go with us through all that we go through. We thank you, Jesus. And he helps us through other people as well. So although God himself is our helper, that's not actually quite what it says. It says, my help is from the Lord. Obviously, lots of other places say that he is our helper, but here it actually says, my help comes from the Lord. And maybe I'm just being a bit picky, I don't know, but to me it's saying all my help comes ultimately from him. So my friends who help me are a gift from him. My money and my job that supports me are from him. They're a gift from him. My help comes from the Lord. My spouse and people who bring joy into my life, all comes from him, you see. My ability to do anything of any worth or value in this world, he is the one who enables everything to happen. He is the ultimate source of everything good that allows me to have peace on this journey through life. I wonder, do you thank God for his good gifts to you? All the things that he puts into your life that makes life tolerable. All the things that just makes life work for you. He's helping, you see. My help comes from the Lord. Should we just take a moment? We're going to take a quick pause. Just thank God, just in the quietness, just for a moment. Just thank him for two things, for being the very best helper. For thank him for someone who is a gift from him to you, who helps you. Let's just take a moment to thank him. Amen. Second, the Lord never stops watching. Okay, so if you've got your Bible there, verse 3 and 4. It's got this little phrase. What if you scan over that psalm again, Psalm 121, he who watches over you. Who watches over you. Says it six times, actually. Well, it says it five times. One of the times it says something slightly different, but in the original language, it's exactly the same. He watches over you. Now that little phrase, he watches over, it could be translated, he guards you, or he preserves you, or he protects you. Some of you will remember this, if you're old like me, the Zeebrugge ferry disaster. Some of you were in other countries at that point. It probably didn't make your news. But this is 1987, I think it was. 1987, the Zeebrugge ferry disaster. What happened was 90 seconds after leaving the port in Belgium, coming to the UK, this car ferry basically went and then tipped over on its side. And a whole load of people died. And the immediate cause of that was that the man whose job it was to shut the doors was asleep. He fell asleep. And so he didn't do his job. Now, okay, very quick addendum. Obviously, that shouldn't ever have been allowed to happen. Okay, there was a load of other stuff that should have not, you know, someone falling asleep shouldn't cause 150 odd people to die. All right, so there was all kinds of other reasons. But that was the immediate cause of it. It's a huge problem for human beings, isn't it? That every single night, every person on earth falls asleep. Everyone, every single person on earth becomes as weak and helpless and defenseless as a newborn baby. And it doesn't matter how rich or you are, how powerful you are, how big the muscles might be, or how influential that person is, everybody sleeps. And that's what we think, where is he going with this? The point is, God never sleeps. The one who watches over you. See, whatever else you might rely on to watch over you and keep you safe, it will let you down. Human beings will let you down. Human beings need to sleep. But he who watches over you, our helper, will neither slumber nor sleep, the psalm says. Perhaps today you wonder if the Lord has forgotten you. He hasn't. He is literally never asleep on the job. Never. He is always watching, always protecting, always guarding, always preserving, always helping. In fact, you can sleep well at night because he doesn't. You see? I wonder, do you believe that? Do you believe what God's word says? The Lord never stops watching, keeping, preserving, helping. And the Lord keeps you through every danger. On the journey, you can imagine there are dangers everywhere. Your foot can slip. I've been there. I'm sure many of you have as well. You're walking along. Oh, you go over on your ankle. The sun beats down by day. We know what that's like at the moment, don't we? There are dangers in the night. But this psalm has some extraordinary promises. He will not let your foot slip. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He will keep you from all harm. Well, what does that mean? Because it sounds like it's promising to us that nothing bad will ever happen to you. Which, of course, is nuts. You know, these people were not stupid when they wrote this, okay? You know, they lived on planet Earth like we do. We know that cars fail MOTs and businesses go under and people get cancer and loved ones die. Talk to Babs about this. Babs, 6 weeks ago or something, 8 weeks ago, literally her foot slipped and she's been in pain for weeks ever since, although she is getting better and she'll be back with us very soon. Praise the Lord. So what does it mean then? What does it mean? I think it means we need to look at the bigger picture. I think it's saying in the great scheme of everything, in the journey of life towards our final destination, towards our goal, sure, there are things that can hurt me, but there is nothing that will finally destroy me. We'll be singing in a few minutes' time that song that says, "He'll not let my soul be lost. He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold, but he will hold me fast." If my security is in my money, my family, my job, my visa, my health, then it can be lost in an instant, can't it? Like that. But if I belong to Christ, then my future is in his hands. And nothing can ultimately harm me. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, he will get you home. Nothing will stop you from reaching your destination in the Lord Jesus. There's a little gem in verse 5 that sometimes when you're reading the Bible, I don't know if it happens to you, it happens to me now and again. I read something and I think, oh, that's brilliant. I haven't spotted that before. That's brilliant. Verse 5, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. We've all been using sunshades recently, haven't we? It's saying you can stand in the fierce heat because you stand in the shade of someone greater. It takes us back to Jesus again, doesn't it? There is an ultimate danger that we cannot survive on our own, the judgment of God against our sin. But Jesus stood in our place and he absorbs the heat of judgment so that we can enjoy the shade of God's mercy. I think that's beautiful. So even our very worst enemy, even death and judgment, cannot finally harm you because you stand in the shade of someone greater. You stand in the shade of Jesus. And sure, sickness and death can take us from this life, but they cannot take us from Christ. In fact, sickness and death, the worst they can do is accelerate your journey towards him. You know, that's the freedom and liberation that we have in the Lord Jesus. Do you get that, friends? And finally, the Lord keeps you forever. Just right at the end, verse 8. I mentioned earlier, people will always let you down in the end. Everyone's care has an end point. No relationship can last forever. No one can always be there to bear your burdens. All of us have limitations on our time, don't we? And on our energy, on our mental abilities. But the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. He is the only one whose patience never runs out. He is the only one whose energy is never exhausted. He is the only one whose love will be forever and always. And I wonder, perhaps today, you wonder if you'll make it all the way on the journey. Can I, with all the troubles I face, will I be faithful to the end? And the answer is yes, you will. With his help, yes, you will. He will sustain you to the end. No one can snatch you out of my hand, Jesus says. He who began a good work in you will complete it on the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus will take you home to be with him. Trust him. Trust him. He's with you both now and forevermore. I said that was the last bit. There's one more final thought, okay? And then we're done. I don't know if you've noticed, the way this psalm is written, if you've got it in front of you, Verse 1 and verse 2 is an individual speaking. I lift my eyes to the mountains. I lift my eyes up. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. You see, it's an individual speaking. But the rest of it isn't. So the first bit is an anxious believer, I think, trusting the Lord. Holding on, just about holding on. The rest of the psalm is someone else speaking. It's an encouraging voice. It's an encouraging voice from the sidelines, reinforcing that faith. Saying, yes, you're right. Yeah, my help comes from the Lord. Yeah, you're right. This is how that works. See, the voice from the sideline says, he won't let your foot slip. He won't. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He watches over you. He'll keep you from all harm now and forevermore. You see, that's the voice from the sideline saying that. I think the writer has got some really good friends. I think that's what's going on in this psalm. The first couple of verses are someone clinging on to faith, seeing the scale of the mountain, saying, my help comes from the Lord. I know that. But that's all I've got. But he's got some really good friends who remind him of all the rest. And it could be that today you can be that friend to someone else. You know, when someone, this is our responsibility, isn't it, to be that voice to one another. When someone else is going through hard times, to reinforce their faith, to remind them of God's promises to them, to encourage them week by week, and maybe day by day, maybe even hour by hour if necessary. I wonder, will you do that this week when you have opportunity? To encourage one another on the difficult path as we travel home together. Can you do that this week for someone else? I'll tell you what, let's have a little practice. Oh, that got your attention, didn't it? Don't worry, we're just going to read the psalm through together. So I'll read the first couple of verses, and then you're going to remind me of all the things that I need to know. Okay? All right. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is your bit. Not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you that the maker of heaven and earth is also our helper. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your inexhaustible care and energy and time and love. And on this journey together through life, Lord, please help us to encourage one another along the way, fixing our eyes on Jesus day by day. And now to the one who is able to keep you from falling and to cause you to stand rejoicing without blemish before his glorious presence, to the only God, our Saviour, through Christ Jesus our Lord, be glory, majesty, power and authority before all time and now and for eternity. Amen.